Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'm sharing a message on following Jesus. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. You will not finish your race without hearing His commands and getting to know Him. Eternal life is a gift you received at salvation to know God personally. You don't get to know God by doing works of any kind." Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Paul saw the purpose of God's grace to hear God and through conviction on the narrow way become God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. The biggest hindrance to this process is sin and the flesh. Paul said in Galatians 5 and 24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." The flesh has to be crucified with its reasonings, lusts, and desires, and not take control again to follow Christ. Paul was speaking about Jesus in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 4. "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he lived by the power of God, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you." Those who are strong, following Christ, are acquainted with weakness. They would rather be weak than go back doing something in their own strength. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Verse 10. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." If you have a weakness, you are blessed. God can glorify Himself through that weakness if you let Him show you how. We were designed to function with Him as the source for everything and not be corrupted in this world of sin. The strength Paul had was coming from a strong faith in God, because he had overcome his doubts about living on the narrow way. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 17, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians 4, I'm reading verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Verse 11. Even unto this present hour both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Verse 12. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled we bless, being persecuted we suffer it. Verse 13. Being defamed we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. Verse 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul shared his personal experience to help others who did not have their faith in God and were living a comfortable life instead. You were supposed to be weak, trusting in his resurrection power that comes through the gospel, doing the work he has prepared in advance for you to do. This is what Paul was teaching everywhere. This was not an academic seminar, but a message of eternal life for those who do not want to perish. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. This is John chapter 10. I'm reading verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Verse 29, "My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Those following Christ are doing good works, ordained and directed by the Spirit. All those serving God are on the narrow way. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 26, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." You cannot just serve Christ without following Christ. But if you are serving him, then you will remain in his kingdom, and the Father will bless you and honor you. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. This is Galatians chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. "And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased?" Verse 12. "I would that they were even cut off, which trouble you." Verse 13. "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." There are no religious requirements like physical circumcision for following Christ. Learn how to serve first and be faithful in less noble tasks. Then God can use you for more through a process of sanctification. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 20. "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Verse 21. "If a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." Those who are following Christ must start by being faithful in small tasks and learn to hear the Holy Spirit and please him. When you do, then God will open a greater door of opportunity. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 16. I'm reading verses 1 to 9. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. I'm starting in verse 1. And he said unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man, which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him, that he had wasted his goods. Verse 2. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Verse 3. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, to beg I'm ashamed. Verse 4. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? Verse 6. And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Verse 7. Then he said to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. Verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. In this parable, the shrewd manager was accused of wasting resources and about to lose everything. So he made some friends so that later he could still continue in his earthly calling. Those following Christ with a passion for their heavenly calling will always have friends they have helped along the way through the wisdom and truth they have learned the hard way. Jesus continued speaking in Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 13. This is Luke chapter 16, starting in verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is also in the much. Verse 11, If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Verse 12, And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Verse 13, No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The world is a training ground for godly ministry for those following Christ. In Nigeria, one of the largest and most effective ministries only allowed pastors in the pulpit that had first proved faithful in a trade or business of their own for all to see. Those not following Christ end up serving money and make excuses under these circumstances. You should have a list of tasks to be done each day from the Lord. And you will be faithful if you are hearing and following Christ. Those over you in the Lord should also be adding to your list. Your life will be busy following Christ. Attention to detail is more important than doing things quickly or efficiently to make a great amount of money in a short time. Success is maintaining a good reputation. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, I'm reading. This is 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Verse 3. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy for filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Verse 4, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 5, for if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach. And the snare of the devil. Someone ready to follow Christ is always willing to give up something that is temporal for something eternal. Jesus recognized those who were ready and were not serving money. We read in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Those following Jesus, not clinging to the security and comforts of this world, are effective in evangelism, not those who are born again living comfortable lives. Jesus was speaking in Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 to 20. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, I'm reading verse 19. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Verse 20. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And if you are still clinging and controlled by the comforts of this world, then you are not perfect. Jesus was speaking to an ambitious young ruler. In Matthew chapter 19, I'm reading verses 21 to 24. This is Matthew 19, and I'm reading verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 24. And again I say unto you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You cannot serve two masters. Those following Christ get their prosperity without man's methods of doing business. We read in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'm reading verse 1. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth." Verse 2. "And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God." Also, the definition of success for those following Christ is knowing Jesus. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Verse 8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Verse 9. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Verse 11. "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." In the Amplified Bible, Philippians 3, verses 10-11 says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body." Paul wanted to hear and obey God's every command that came by the Spirit so that he could experience his kingdom firsthand. He made no excuses for the flesh and made himself completely vulnerable to God. He wanted to qualify for the first resurrection so that God would take him, just like Enoch. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without hearing God clearly himself, Paul, through his own reasoning, would have put himself in great danger. But he was able to recognize the boundaries set for his life by living in the kingdom of God. Paul gave this testimony in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. This is Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You will also experience fullness of joy and peace in everything when he is leading and you are following. If you direct something yourself, it will take you out of the kingdom. The kingdom of God has all the resources you need to obey God, even though the devil is busy making others very comfortable serving sin. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. An intercessor should be able to pray and endure the time it takes to remove the blindness Paul is talking about here, so that others can see that without following Jesus and making him Lord, no one will be saved. Your prayers will be hindered if you are a comfortable Christian, because you are still a prisoner of your emotions and feelings. Paul's messages were consistent, but he had to endure the mental and physical pressure in the mission to reach those who God had appointed for salvation. He was especially trying to reach the poor, helpless, and most vulnerable before they ended up serving the devil through lust and earthly gain. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. And know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from some other words which means to be unapproved, that is rejected, by implication worthless, literally or morally, a castaway, rejected. You will be going through some hardships for following Christ, but you're not a reprobate or a castaway. If God is directing you and there is an anointing on you for the small tasks you are doing now, John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 to 27. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm reading verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Verse 25. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. And ye not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as he has taught you, ye shall abide in him. You should not let anything get you off the narrow way, making you comfortable and hinder the process of sanctification. In the Old Testament, Joseph was one of Jacob's 12 sons. His father loved him and gave him a multicolored coat. His brothers were jealous of him and sold him into slavery. He was taken to Egypt and eventually became steward to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. Joseph wanted to see God's perfect will being done in his life. After his brothers sold him as a slave, he was tempted to sin, wrongly accused, and forgotten about in prison. Despite all this, the Lord saved Egypt and his own family through him. Joseph had to deny himself and take up his cross. Joseph's ability to hear God helped Egypt get through a worldwide famine while other nations perished. The Jews became comfortable after Joseph died and were not willing to pay the price to hear God for themselves. God, through Moses, took them into the wilderness to learn to trust and obey, but they complained. They were then told to trust God and look up rather than look down when fiery serpents came crawling into their tents to bite them. We read in Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading Numbers chapter 21, starting in verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looks up unto it, he shall live. Verse 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put upon it a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Your faith should be rooted in a deep reverence for God, taking over complete control of your life after you have let your emotions, feelings, and the lusts of the flesh rule you for so long. If you're not following Christ, you're actually following the devil. There's no third option. Carnal, comfortable Christians see as evil or fanatical to serve God. Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God's plan includes rescuing you from your own lordship. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. I'm reading verse 9. And after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I have listed some conclusions based on this teaching from Jesus. In verse 9, hallowed be your name. You are not to have any other provider outside of God, as this is spiritual adultery. He is to be your Father in heaven and the source of all true wisdom and knowledge. Your priority is to maintain the connection to God you receive by grace through faith. Keep the sin out by doing the will of God and keep away from anything that might offend a holy God. Verse 10, your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit, and those still consulting their own mind, making decisions, are deceiving themselves, being lord of their own lives and thinking they will not be left behind. Jesus will come back to rule on this earth and set up his kingdom here. And if you cannot enter the kingdom of God now by consistently obeying the Spirit, then you will face the judgment. If you are alive when he comes and you are not following Christ, you will not be part of Christ's kingdom. Everyone on earth who wants to be part of his kingdom should be meek, like the angels, asking what he wants done frequently, not just at the beginning and end of the day. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. You are not to buy what you want, see, or desire. You must acknowledge God what he wants you to eat or not eat. You need to learn to hear God in this important area without any opinions, so he can direct you or go hungry. Traditionally, going without one meal has been used as an effective form of discipline for a misbehaving child. Most in the body of Christ would not admit that they are still babies secretly fulfilling the lusts of their flesh and need some correction too. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God cannot forgive you if you are still offended at what someone else did to you or failed to do what they said they would do. You could end up in hell if your sins are not forgiven just because you cannot forgive. Some of the most insensitive or hardest people to reach are believers trapped waiting for others to change first. Verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You can effectively pray for deliverance from evil if you have been following Christ consistently. Most rely on human wisdom and discernment for detecting the devil's trap. However, the devil also uses ways that seem right for those who have no intention of being deceived. You may not see the imperative need for his kingdom to come into your life. However, you are blinded by meeting your own earthly needs yourself. Actually, you cannot do anything eternal without him, so you need to repent. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 6. This is John chapter 15. I'm reading verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine and you are the branches, and he that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In the kingdom of God, you do not need to fast unless God directs you to do this. You were told to pray and expect God's provision following Christ. The Pharisees were speaking to Jesus in Luke chapter 5 and verse 33. I'm reading Luke 5 and verse 33. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? Being a disciple of Jesus is not following any religious traditions or having regular periods of fasting. Do not deceive yourself, however. There are many challenges. Your flesh will always feel nervous, as God's ways are not man's ways. There are only two rules in the kingdom. Number one, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, do it. Number two, whatever the Holy Spirit tells you not to do, do not do it. You must enter the kingdom now before Jesus comes, or you'll be left behind. Only those asking God and communicating with him will be ready for his kingdom when he will rule on this earth. If you're still trying to fulfill the lusts of the flesh and serve God, you will miss God's provision. You'll be tempted again to meet your personal needs or desires and eventually serve sin. You'll go back to the flesh if you are not living by faith. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. I'm reading 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 20. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21. For it being better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that has washed to her wallowing in the mire. In the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition in chapter 4 on page 40, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the root of all sin is your lordship along with its natural understanding, desires and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. Those following Christ do not justify getting in the flesh to meet their own physical and emotional needs. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. God can use anyone baptized in the Holy Spirit that has no confidence in what they know or understand and knows everything they need is in Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Those who are complete in Christ believe that the kingdom belongs to Jesus and are following him. If you believe with your whole heart that you are complete in him, you will have no reason to come out of Christ. You will ask God what you really need to do now. Christ's circumcision includes putting away any activities that are not part of God's plan for your life. Everyone should be working out their salvation and remove activities of any career you chose for yourself that is not part of his plan. Christ's circumcision is putting away things you trust in that feed your flesh like hobbies that are not part of your calling, taking up precious time. Those teaching that you only need to be born again are deceiving themselves. Jesus did say to Nicodemus, you must be born again. But he also said in John chapter 3, verses 5 to 8, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 5. And Jesus answered, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7, marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Verse 8, the wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. If you're born of the Spirit, you are prepared by God, available and willing to go anywhere or do anything. Those following Christ are not serving God part-time, fitting the ministry into their busy lifestyles, but putting their own needs last. If you are not denying yourself daily, the devil will get access again. Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 23. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. And he said unto them all, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the Amplified Bible, Luke 9, 23 says, and he said to them all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living and if need be in dying also. To follow Christ, you have to deny yourself daily. The Amplified Bible explains what you need to do. Number one, disown yourself and give up the right to make decisions using your own mind and rely on the Spirit instead to bear witness. Number two, forget, lose sight of yourself and your own interests or needs and desires and rely on God's provision instead. Number three, refuse and give up yourself to God as a servant and put the needs of the kingdom first. In this world, it may be necessary to disown another person when there is a threat of physical or mental abuse. It might be someone you are living with, the person or persons you want to disown, and you can move into a residence of your own. You can cease all contact by refusing to accept any written or electronic communications. However, everyone who wants to follow Christ has to disown oneself by not listening to your own voice, or you will end up on a way that seems right, heading for destruction. We read in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 13. This is Proverbs chapter 14. I'm reading verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Those who are on the way that seems right never enjoy anything in this life, as God intended. They end up with deep regret, grieved again and again over missed opportunities. But there are no regrets following Jesus, even if you lose a lot more in terms of what others think constitutes success. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 25, "For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway?" In the book My Sheep and My Voice, revised edition in chapter 1 on page 6, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Today success seems to be the theme in most churches. If it's successful, it must be good. However, some of the most ungodly people in the world have the greatest success. There are many people who lie, cheat, and steal to gain success. I'm not saying it's evil to be successful, but making worldly success your goal is a deception that has unfortunately made its way into the church. Even if you obtain it, what do you really have? You have gained something which has only temporal value. You will still miss opportunities to do the will of God just because you have opinions and preconceived ideas. The heart of man is thoroughly wicked." We read in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 to 11. This is Jeremiah chapter 17, starting in verse 7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is." Verse 8, "For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Verse 10, "I, the Lord, searcheth the heart, and I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings." Verse 11, "As the partridge sits on eggs, and hatches them not, so he that gets riches not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at the end shall be a fool." Do not deceive yourself by listening to your heart. Getting on the narrow way, following Jesus, is preventing you from being infected with the corruption in this world through lust. Passing through many smaller, God-given trials is proof that you have not resurrected your flesh in the meantime. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 13. "Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way." Verse 14. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it." Most of the body of Christ have their hope based on the fact that they are born again. They see Christianity as just another religion, not a relationship with God that has been made possible through the Holy Spirit at great cost, so that someone can serve in the kingdom of God through repentance. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9 and verse 7. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, I'm reading verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even for ever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You can be part of the greatest kingdom that has no end now by grace. Many deceive themselves instead, being their own provider, and forfeit their chance to rule and reign with Christ. Some top charismatic leaders have said God gave you a brain and he expects you to use it. Do not ignore your invitation to be part of God's government, where there is no corruption, no selfishness, or self-seeking individuals, where God meets all your personal needs. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 15 to 17. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Verse 17. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. In the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition, in the introduction on pages 4 and 5, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when Satan prevents you from walking through the straight gate and on the narrow way, you are already on a way to spiritual destruction. If he can separate you from fellowship with the Lord because you follow the broad way, he has succeeded in stealing spiritual life from you. If you can be imprisoned by lust of the flesh or addiction, Satan will use those methods. If you will not yield to that type of imprisonment and are determined to walk with God, Satan will seduce you with ways that seem right. You may have no intention of being deceived. You do not yield to the lust of the flesh, nor are you consciously rebellious. Yet you know that you are not growing spiritually as you should. You may be confused and frustrated because you seem to obey the rules, but your daily life proves you're not spiritual. Many are not willing to endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ to become spiritual. They make excuses for missing God's timing and want to know God at their own convenience and on their own terms. A one-room schoolhouse is always a bit of a challenge for any teacher. However, in one church, you can have different levels of maturity. At the end of Paul's life, the church was being corrupted with lukewarm Christianity. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. On the narrow way, you have to be strong in the grace. God gives grace to the humble, and those who made him Lord are humble. Godly leaders should be an example to others, following Christ, trusting in the precious promises of God. Timothy was a young man and he was behind and had to get in soldier mode too and endure hardness. He was told to focus his efforts on those who had already proved faithful with the teaching they had received and not to get involved in the earthly affairs of anyone. The ministry, according to Paul, looked more like a military training ground for those who were serious. We read in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 6 and 7. This is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. I'm reading verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Cleaving steadfastly to Christ means to conform wholly to his example in living, and if need be, in dying also. This could mean appearing dumb to others by living like a soldier on the narrow way. Paul also said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 12, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Verse 11, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Paul was explained the greatest privilege belongs to those who are busy about the Father's business, paying a price for their faith. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 38 to 42. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, and reading verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 40, then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 41, two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken and the other left. Verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Those ready for his appearing will include those treading out the grain or working in the field. There is no record here of anyone being taken who is playing some sport or watching TV when he comes. Those eating and drinking what they want when he comes will be left behind. Jesus is coming for those who are hearing and obeying his voice by the Spirit. We read in John chapter 4, verses 34 to 36. This is John's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm reading verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white or ready to harvest. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receives wages, and gathers fruit unto eternal life. And both he that sows and he that reapeth may rejoice together. By obedience to the Holy Spirit, you can produce the right fruit and also be a worker in the kingdom because of God's grace. But you have to become like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18. I'm reading verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Paul explained what happened at salvation and was praying that the young Colossians in the faith would not sit back, but get on the narrow way and follow the example of Jesus. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, I'm reading. This is Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. You should have experienced an amazing and overwhelming joy and peace at salvation. This should have given you a taste of what it's like to live in the kingdom of God now, so you don't try to find an alternative anywhere else. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Those who are following Christ are not holding on to anything in this life, including their own lives. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 24, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." You must lose yourself in God so that others see the Father's personality coming through. The greatest work of Jesus is doing the will of the Father, including the cross. We read in John 14, verses 8 to 10. This is in John 14, I'm reading verse 8. "And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it be sufficient for us." Verse 9. "And Jesus said to him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, Show us the Father?" Verse 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works." Many see being a pastor or a church leader as an acceptable career, serving the praises of men. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Verse 3. "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Verse 4. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Verse 5. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." You need to look at your fruits of loving God and not at those who are comfortable in this world serving the pleasures of the flesh now. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 to 17. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. "That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Verse 14. "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which we have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle." Verse 16. "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which has loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Verse 17. "Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." You have to believe the truth that the Holy Spirit confirms about your life and your mission on this earth. Jesus sweated blood in the Garden of Tears, but even in these extreme conditions, he also had access to the kingdom of God just like you. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. This is Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us." Verse 2. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds." There is nothing more thrilling than being busy for God, even going without food or sleep just to do the work that he has planned and confirmed for you to do. We read in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto your Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Those doing the will of God have the joy and peace that comes from kingdom living. Those with Nehemiah were rebuilding the walls of the city with a sword in one hand. They were not afraid and had gone without food to do this. And the joy of the Lord was their source of supernatural strength. If you are connected to God and keeping his commands, you will be getting his resurrection power if you do not make any excuses for the flesh. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. I'm reading Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. In the last days, many born-again children of God operating the gifts of the Spirit will deceive themselves that they are busy serving God, but they will be left behind, living a comfortable life, making excuses for sin. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, purpose, or action. To live in the kingdom that is coming, you need to hear and obey the voice of Jesus consistently. You still have time to learn how to hear the right decisions with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Instead, carnal Christians prefer just to learn to operate in the gifts of the Spirit because they do not like conviction. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. Verse 29. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show you I a more excellent way. There is no excuse for not asking God everything if you want to follow him. The more excellent way is found in 1 Corinthians 13, doing things out of love. Paul ended that chapter on love and said, in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 to 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 9. For you know in part, and we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is to come, then that which is part shall be done away. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as I also am known. Verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Paul was not relying on prophecy for guidance like some carnal Christian. He had his own personal relationship with God. He understood when eternity begins, there will be no more prophets. He understood up to that time, faith, hope, and love are the essentials for life. The devil is the god of this world, and he is encouraging everyone to use their own minds instead. Carnal Christians listen to the devil's options because they will not deal with their flesh. It is possible to live by faith, not live like the world, and use the witness of the Spirit instead. You will not become spiritual by being impatient, trying to fulfill all the demands of the world. Instead, get up in the morning before there are any distractions and hear the solutions God provides. James said in James chapter 1, verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." You will need more time to hear God. You have to stop and ask more questions as well and remove opinions and wrong motives just to hear the right answer. It definitely takes longer at the beginning and you will have to go slower. However, putting the spiritual things above the natural realm is necessary. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 26. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and reading verse 26. "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." Many will be left behind, deceiving themselves, that they will not end up in the tribulation. You could be one of them if you do not pay the price to hear God clearly. You have to become like a little child. There is no excuse for not hearing his voice, but there are reasons why you cannot hear God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. This is Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 10. "That you might walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Verse 11. "Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Without faith, you will not please God. If you're not in the Spirit, you will need to hear God clearly. And therefore, you need to confess your sins and go slowly, and not just do something in the flesh again and again. We read in Revelation chapter 20, verses 6 and 7. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. I'm reading verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse 7. "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison." Outside of Christ, your life will serve the devil again. In Christ, you are always working on your motive and attitude. His love is what holds everything in place. Reacting in the flesh shows that something is missing in your relationship. James said in James chapter 1, verses 20 to 22, I'm reading James chapter 1 and verse 20. "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." Verse 21. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the ingrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Verse 22. "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Each truth you know in your head has to go deeper until it's established in your heart. Through your intimate relationship with God, you can endure this chastening process, because you know he loves you. If you do not know God loves you, then you will not appreciate conviction, correction, repentance, and submission to authority. All your needs for love are met in Christ, so you do not need to get in the flesh when you are being corrected or under pressure. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 12, this is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 12. "Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him." Do not be like the world, chasing self-worth or a little bit of self-esteem based on works. those following Jesus discern the will of God with the Holy Spirit using the rightly divided word of truth, not their minds. Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you the things to come." Do not interpret God's word with your mind, or make a new set of laws or doctrines based on the written word, so that you do not have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Those in Christ submitted to him, growing up spiritually through conviction, let the word of God change them first and prove something is the perfect will of God for everyone else before passing it on. When you have some fruit of repentance, share this with those who have a heart after God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Conviction is the only way to grow up spiritually. Conviction is a blessing. It does not mean you failed. God corrects those he loves. You have to be a doer of the word to save yourselves from the corruption in this world. You cannot grow up spiritually using your mind because it's corrupted too. There is a carnal option today to study the Bible like any other textbook. You can attend Bible college where they try to understand the things of God using natural intellect. The intellectual method of learning is without conviction and godly sorrow, and this appeals to those who are carnal. Paul described this method of learning in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 7, ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Any method of learning that does not require repentance or involve some discomfort for the flesh is wrong. With your mind, you may develop a knowledge of many doctrines. However, you will never come to the knowledge of the truth unless you become like a little child and rely on the witness of the Holy Spirit. The honesty of following Jesus, making mistakes, and going through hardship is still the best method of learning. We read in Matthew 18, verses 19 to 22. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, and reading verse 19. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, "Master, I will follow thee wherever thou goest." Verse 20. And Jesus said unto him, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Verse 21. Another of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Verse 22. And Jesus said unto him, "Follow me, and let the dead bury the dead." Many came to Jesus, but did not want to pay the price to get on the narrow way. They were willing to adopt his teachings, but not his lifestyle. Jesus was sent to those with a heart after God, responding to conviction and the knowledge of the bad fruit in their lives with repentance. We read in Mark chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, and reading in verse 16. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eats and drinks with publicans and sinners?" Verse 17. And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Those who've replaced following Jesus with just earthly traditions are blind. It's no surprise that Jesus told his disciples to make disciples, not converts. If you do not make disciples of Jesus, even a good ministry will die in one generation. Jesus said in Matthew 13, verses 33 and 34. This is Matthew 13, and read verse 33. Another parable spoke he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman look and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Verse 34. And all these things spoke Jesus unto the multitudes in parables. Without a parable spoke he not unto them. You need to enter the kingdom of God and not be leavened yourself. We have all seen corruption come into the church through those born again not living on the narrow way. Everyone has to save oneself first and not make excuse for sin based on what someone else did or didn't do. God is the judge. Jesus spoke in parables so that hearing many would not understand. He loves you, and he does not want you to get knowledge of doctrines without humility and brokenness. Otherwise, you will never grow spiritually. You are supposed to reject the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and only take the tree of life like a little child. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I'm reading verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. God is no respecter of persons, but he is not handing out great pearls of wisdom either to everyone in the kingdom. You have to be faithful to the spirit of truth you received at salvation. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? There is a famine today of the hearing of what God is saying. Even church people do not know what God is saying, and some even think God is not speaking. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 15, But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Any time you come to the conclusion God is not speaking, you are deceiving yourself. Those who are spiritual hear and can test everything. Those who cannot hear are not relying on the Holy Spirit of truth. Churches have been taught to accept everything and do not know how to test what they hear from prophets, pastors, and formally educated church leaders. Those who are carnal enjoy teaching that makes sense to their minds. However, they will not listen to someone who is going through difficulties living on the narrow way because they are not spiritual. We read in Matthew 11, verses 1 to 11. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Verse 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. Verse 3. And said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Verse 5. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse 6. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? Verse 8. But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. Verse 9. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I see unto you, and more than a prophet. Verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verse 11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What Jesus has taught is largely ignored by the world due to the corruption in the church. His radical actions and lifestyles are outdated according to many. In the lukewarm church, being born again is now enough. and you do not need to follow Christ. However, if you do not follow Christ, you are serving the devil through the flesh. Jesus said, anyone not using their mind like a little child in the kingdom of God now is greater than John the Baptist. In these last days, as things became more convenient in the church, many view the teachings of Jesus as no longer applicable to modern society. I'm not attracted by upgrades in technology that make life easier. If something is going to save me time, I first need to know I have the grace and wisdom to use that spare time wisely. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Initially, I heard people say technology and the computer age will save time and money. However, through the love of money, man is now a slave to that technology. God allowed knowledge to increase so that man would have more time to seek God in these last days and be ready at his appearing. But man has used technology for a pursuit of personal wealth and listened to the devil instead. Even God allowed some to have personal wealth so that they could support something godly and have time for godly pursuits themselves. The judgment is coming and all will be revealed. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 11 and 12. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 20. I'm reading verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Intellectual study feeds the flesh and gives the flesh confidence again so that afterwards it's even harder to grow spiritually. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you have been learning and studying the written word using your natural mind, you have not even started following Jesus. We read in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is John's Gospel, chapter 3, starting in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You need to be born again, but you are spiritually blind without relying on the witness of the Spirit. To enter the kingdom, you have to be born of water and be controlled by the Spirit. You should have been baptized in water after you publicly confess your sins and repented of dead works. Baptism is a declaration that you have repented of using your mind to make decisions based on what is right and wrong. There is a cost to follow Christ, and you need to count the cost of not using your mind like a little child before you start. Paul experienced the more excellent way through a life of obeying the Holy Spirit and did not rely on the gifts of the Spirit like prophecy, which many carnal Christians do today. Instead, Paul relied on peace and joy. Paul said how he was living in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 8. This is in Philippians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 4 on Hearing the Lord, on page 27, Joseph Edgecott writes, when people get saved, they really want to walk with God and get to know Him. Unfortunately, many operate in their own lordship and run their lives without ever seeking God for direction. They develop such a habit of this, it's hard for them to change. Their hearts often grow cold spiritually because they have never gotten close to God during all the years since they were saved. They've only gotten glimpses of God moving on rare occasions instead of having daily fellowship with Him. They may have felt His presence for a moment here and there, but most believers only get enough truth and anointing to keep them from spiritually starving to death. They never really develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, nor do they have any real spiritual maturity. You can only get to know God on the narrow way. It's a life of faith. With some suffering for righteousness' sake, you do not adjust the Word of God to suit your lifestyle, but adjust your lifestyle to match the Word of God. For example, as you keep His commands out of love on the narrow way, all things work to your good. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in the introduction on page 2, Joseph Edgecott writes, I came to the conclusion that if my life did not line up with the Bible, then there was no excuses for it. There were only reasons. When I began to search the Scriptures for those reasons, while being led by the Holy Spirit, I began to make progress. I discovered that the reasons could be identified and removed through repentance until there was no more reasons. As this process continued, I began to change. Old things began to pass away, and all things became new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. My walk with God began to align with the rightly divided word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. As I became more comfortable with this process, I asked God to show me my greatest hindrances first. And as I processed those hindrances through repentance, my growth dramatically increased. You can only learn spiritually by getting on the narrow way. Those on the broad way make decisions with their minds and have a confidence in the flesh. The kingdom of God is already here now for those who have a heart after God, depend on His word, and live controlled by the Spirit. Those who are still sinning need to wake up spiritually and stop deceiving themselves by making excuses. Sin has serious consequences. Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. By serving others on the narrow way, you will experience the right kind of pressure and see where your foundations are weak and missing. Over time, you should be learning from your mistakes where you miss God's timing and hear the Lord faster. In the beginning, you may be tempted to use your mind to make decisions, but this will stunt your growth and you become a prisoner again. God's kingdom is here now. And if you are still tempted by the pleasures of the world and try to enter the kingdom of God at the last minute, just before He comes, you will get in, but you will come out very quickly. Get in the kingdom now, and whatever gets you out is wrong, even if it's trying to fulfill a legitimate need at the time. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I'm reading verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you are growing spiritually, then you will do more with less effort. Hear faster and hear more detail. Your communication should always be improving and getting clearer. You should be communing and having more dialogue with the Lord as you seek righteousness. You can start now and practice on clothes and anything else that you have to do in the house or by serving others. He can remind you of what you have forgotten if your mind is not cluttered with anxious thoughts. Aim to do everything immediately whenever he reminds you. This is what it will be like in the kingdom of God when Jesus is ruling on this earth. Use a checklist of things that the Lord wants you to do each day, and then look at this list towards the end of the day to see if you've done what he said. This list should include basic tasks like clean your room, pay bills, or do some regular physical exercise. You may miss some details under pressure, but then seek the Lord and be faithful. Make no excuses. This is part of learning spiritually. You came here to do eternal things. If you cannot do earthly things directed by the Spirit, how will you be faithful in things that are eternal that you cannot see? The narrow way represents God's choice for you, so that you do not get contaminated with this world. He makes all the right choices because he cannot be contaminated himself. There are a lot of things that you do not need that others have. The earth is not your home. The earth is just God's footstool. We are coming back to rule if we first learn how to serve. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. This is 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. God is giving you the power to serve through his kingdom. You do not have to be selfish anymore to get what you want and then reap corruption. Now you can sow into something perfect and pure instead. You can sleep at night too because you are doing the things that God directs, and you will reap eternal life. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hitchcock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and trust God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hitchcock. Today I've been sharing with you about following Christ. This is the most blessed experience that we all are supposed to be enjoying right now on this earth. We came here from God. We came with a purpose. And that plan and that purpose now can be fulfilled because of what Jesus has done on that cross. He paid the price so that you could have a direct link to God, that you could hear his voice, that you could trust him with all your heart and let him make the decisions, just like a little child. This is what most seem to be afraid of. But why? If you know God loves you, then trust him like a little child. You will follow him and enjoy the most blessed experiences. And you will feel completely fulfilled in this life doing the things He has planned for you to do. The small discomforts, the small difficulties, the small challenges, you'll not even remember, and you will have no regrets. Father, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message to shake them, to stir them, to make them absolutely convinced in their spirit that they need to just follow You by the Spirit, to be completely free, to obey You in everything they're doing, to forsake everything, including the pleasures and the enjoyments that they now have, in order to get something greater and better. Father, I pray, give them a vision that what they're holding on to is holding them back to what they could receive. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless you. You will find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below this video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you, and thank you for listening.